mingled with fire, and there's a reason for that. You see, what God is doing in this verse is He's showing John the outgathering, or the ingathering, if you will, because he's from a heavenly perspective, of the last believers to be martyred and killed for their faith. And they've just kind of arrived. And when we saw that sea of glass, we noted that it has a direct connection to the Old Testament temple, tabernacle, and the setup of things. We're going to see that in here as well. But I want to give you a reminder of what's going on. It's a sea of glass. The sea in the tabernacle was a great big bronze laver, sometimes referred to as the sea, because it was just a big, big body of water that was set right outside of the tabernacle in their wanderings. And what the priests would do is anytime that they were to enter into the room of the tabernacle, first part was the holy place, and then the most holy place where the Lord where the Ark of the Covenant was, they would go to the laver, they would draw water out, and they would wash. It was a place of purification. And it was only a shadow of the substance of what's in heaven. Because you see, in heaven, God, we've seen on occasion after occasion, whether it's when Jesus was caught in a cloud out of their sight in Acts chapter 1, or whether it was Ezekiel's vision of the wheels within the wheels and the canopy and the four beasts and the four living creatures, and on top was the throne and God sitting there and a great expanse. We didn't really look at the expanse back in Ezekiel. We get to see that in Revelation, and that expanse is where the 24 elders get to sit. So now what we're getting is a clearer picture of what's going on in God's throne. God's throne's in the center of the canopy. The four living creatures are on either corner, and when He comes to deal with this world, you're gonna. If we could have looked at the ground around Him, it would have been like a sea of glass, like crystal. But here, it's a sea of glass mingled with fire because He's just catapulted out the last of the last, and they're arriving on the scene, and the fire represents a purification that those guys had to go through. They didn't get raptured. They got killed. They got martyred. Beloved, when it comes down to it and the rapture occurs, all bets are off. If you're waiting for the last possible minute to get into the family of God, I'm telling you, God closed the gates on Noah before the rain started coming. You're going to think it's all good. The Bible says when they say peace and safety, there is no peace. Suddenly, destruction. Man, I'm excited about being on the right side of this. Aren't you? Woo! Glad I'm in. I tell you, I'm not just telling you what the Bible says. I'm telling you what's exciting for me, okay? This is great stuff. And what you see here is these guys have been finally martyred, the last one gathered in, and there they are. And the Bible says in verse 2, it says that I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over His image, over His mark, and over the number of His name. These are guys who have been ingathered. They've been catapulted up. And what John sees is what he is being shown so that he can tell all tribulation saints that they need to know to get them through. Folks, nothing will get you through your Christian life but the Word of God. That's why so many times you'll find the devil does everything he can to keep people away from it. I talked to a guy yesterday. I believe it was yesterday. It might have been on Friday. But he said, I don't believe the Bible is an intellectual book. I believe the Bible is a spiritual book. And the funny thing was, as he kept talking, he began to hang himself. Because he's like, it's just a spiritual book. And he began to kind of explain it away. And he told me about some guy who just wrote a book. And he says, man, you need to read that guy's book before you read this book. I said, you go to church? He says, yeah, I think of myself as a Christian. I said, does your church teach that? And he didn't know what to say. He was thinking. He was just a real nice, friendly looking guy. But the guy was completely clueless that he was lost as a lost bull in high weeds. Why? Because the devil had twisted and taken his Bible away. He had taken his scroll away. He had nothing to go by. He had no compass. He had no way to say that the guy down the street who believed in jihad, he said the guy down the street was a guy who believed in the Muslim religion. And he said, if he wants to take arms, I mean, what right do I have to tell him that's wrong? Well, I wasn't going to argue the man saved. That wasn't my point. But I did say, I just want to give you a clue. I said, you never see me again. I said, you may never see me again. I said, I may be just one blip on the scale of your life. Here today, gone tomorrow, you may never see me again. But I am from God today telling you that the Bible says He has exalted His Word above His name. Beloved, that is what He has done. If you do not have a good working knowledge of the Word of God, make it your purpose in life to get one. Because it is what will get you through the hard times. And every one of us will face hard times. The Hellinger family is facing crucial, bone-crushing, heart-wrenching times. And if you did not know there was an eternity, what would you do? And we're all going to have to face it. But if you don't have a word from God, you won't be able to get through it. So God shows John this vision of the last martyrs who pay the ultimate price. He's telling them going in, some of you are going to have to die some heinous deaths. But you hang on, because when you die that death, you will be found standing one moment later on the sea of glass. And you're not going to be crawling over the edge of that canopy in the presence of God. You're going to be standing. And you're going to be victorious. Now folks, if you are looking at a guillotine, wouldn't you like to have that verse in your heart? Just a couple more minutes, Lord. Do you know back in the Crusades, and not the Crusades, but in the Colosseum, days of Rome, people were saying, take me. Cast me to the lions. Sign me up. Today we say, I can't get up. Isn't it true? We aren't listening anymore. The Bible says, awake thou to sleep, because the day is far spent. Awake to righteousness. That's what we need to do. These guys have a word. When they're in the tribulation, they're going to be pouring. You know, rapture happens, a lot of people are going to grab the book. They might not know where to start, but a lot of them are going to grab the book. They're going to visit our website. By the way, that's Because we're going through Revelation, they're going to look for the commentators, and they're going to look for the commentaries, and they're going to go to maybe the churches, and maybe that guy down the street in the cul-de-sac, he was a preacher, wasn't he? Wonder what he's got down in his office. You're going to come down and grab my books. There's one on Revelation. Let's find out. And God in His mercy has saw fit to just drop into our world, into our experience, what? The Left Behind series. So people are kind of getting a little bit of visible concept of what to expect. That's merciful God. Merciful God. He cares. He loves. He agonizes. He bleeds. When Jesus came into the Jerusalem the day of the triumphal entry, the Bible says they were crying, Hosanna, and they were casting down their cloaks, and they were casting down palm branches. Save now, Hosanna. Blessed is He. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. But if Fox News would have been there, they'd have zoomed in on Jesus and they'd say, what's this? What's this? He's weeping. He's wailing. If you could read the original, man, he was really crying hard. I gather that the people must not have got a clue. They must have thought, he's so happy for joy. Because for some reason, it did not daunt their praises and their calls for Hosanna, save now. But if you had zoomed in with one of those boom mics, he would have been saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often I would have gathered you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you wouldn't come to me. God says that to every person who says, I'll have nothing to do with God. That stuff will mess up my life, cramp my style, make me look stupid in the eyes of the world. I'll tell you what, I'd rather be looking stupid in the eyes of the world than looking stupid in the eyes of God. Call me a fool if you will, but I'll be a fool for Jesus every day. He says at this sea of glass, they are victorious, they're standing, and the Bible says having harps of God. Now, what's interesting to me about the harps of God is that sometimes we get these images because the devil's pretty clever. He kind of populates and overwhelms, you know, what little we do get. And we got this idea of somebody sitting on a cloud, you know, nothing to do. They got this harp in their hand. And they're kind of doing one of these. But you know what I believe, and I think I have reason behind it, is that the moment that when you get to heaven, you're going to be glorified. The Bible says, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we could be called the children of God. And beloved, it does not yet appear what shall be, but we know that when we see Him, we're going to be just like Him. For we will see Him as He is. The Bible makes it clear that when we get to see Jesus, all of that glory glow is going to envelop us. We're going to be cutting this cord of vanity down here. We're going to be catapulting this body. We're going to be standing in God's presence. And what's going to end up happening is we're going to be completely in our right minds. Which means all of it, not just the one-tenth most people are said to use. And I'm not going to even make the joke because you already know it. They say we only use one-tenth of our brain. But then we will know even as we are known, the Bible says. We see it through a glass darkly right now. But then we will know even as we are known. And at that point, I'm going to be able to look at this piano and I'm going to get it. Wow. Right now, if I tried to play this, I'd clear the room because I don't know. I don't know how to play this thing. What do? You just press that button and it'll play, I think. It really does, but I'm not going to go there. I was going to try to impress you. My point is this. I'm going to get it that quick. Can you imagine? Have you ever just sat in awe? I sat in awe of a guy who used to draw. Man, he would draw, and I'd look at what he drew, and I'd say, man, that's amazing. All the details of the genes and the wrinkles, and he was drawing a guy playing a guitar. Half of it was molded clay, not yet cut out like a sculptor. The other half was perfection of a guy playing a guitar. I'm like, man, how do you do that? He's just doing it off the top of his brain. What I'm saying is, we'll get that. Because that person just has access to something I don't have access to. And you know, we've talked about, or we've seen in our world, the thing of savants, idiot savants. Man, they could go build a ship in a bottle and not even think about it. They can decode codes and figure out different kinds of mazes, you know. That's God's given us a glimpse. He's given us a glimpse that as that is true for them, it will one day be true for you, that you'll be able to do miraculous things without even giving it a second thought. It won't break a sweat. They got a harp in their hand, and I don't think they're just standing there with a harp with not knowing what to do with it. They're there, and yet, what's it say? It says in verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, great and marvelous are thy works. Now, beloved, what I want you to recognize, they got a harp, I dare say they're probably playing it. Because while they're singing, they're playing. And it's while that sea is mingled with fire because they've just arrived, but they got it. It's like they're playing it. They don't even know they're playing it. It's just amazing. You ever seen somebody do something like curl their hair like that with their finger? They got that little tick. Do you do that? See, somebody just went, oh, that's me. And that's true. People do it. They don't even know they're doing it. These guys are going to be like that. They arrive on the scene and they're singing. Now, folks, what we're seeing here is God giving a degree of a promise of bliss to tribulation saints. If you had to face the guillotine and somebody was going to chop your head off, or you had to watch your beloved get their heads chopped off and you're in line, I'm telling you, folks, this is devastating, heart-wrenching, breaking, heartbreaking things. God says it's going to be all right. When I do a funeral, I can say, it's going to be all right if you're a believer. I can say the Bible tells me to be